B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Tzadik. Hey, we're going to start 10 lines from the top of the Omid. Says the Gemara, we're going to learn a braisa about some more of the melachos of Shabbos. Tonu Rabbonon, hacholev, if somebody milks, v'mechabetz, if somebody strains congealed milk, v'megabin, and somebody who makes cheese, kegroigres, the size of a dried fig, in all these cases, he's going to be chayev. Let's soon see if everybody agrees with this. That's the first part of the braisa. The second part of the braisa, hamechabed, if somebody sweeps, vamerabed, if somebody who, well, the truth is, a translation is somebody who lays to rest, somebody who makes the dust rest on the floor. The way he does that is by sprinkling water on the floor. That way the dust becomes wet, becomes heavy, and stays on the surface and doesn't go up into the air. That's called hamerabet. V'horoide, and somebody who removes chalois dvash, loaves of honey from the honeycomb. In those cases, shogag b'shabbos, if he did them b'shogeg on Shabbos chayev chatos, he's going to be chayev chatos, and we'll soon see later why. Hizid b'yomtov, if he does them on yomtov, b'mezid loika arboim, he's going to get malchus. Divi Reb Eliezer v'chachomim oimrim, ve'echod ze einu elo shvus, also on Shabbos, also on Yom Tov, it's only osam ederabonon, and therefore he will not get malchus, and he will not be chayev chatos. Continues the Gemara. And the Gemara is now first going to address the first part of the braisa. Rav Nachman bar Guria ikled in Narador. Rav Nachman was visiting in Narador. Bo minei, they asked him as follows. Choylev mishum mai mechayev. We saw in this braisa that somebody who milks on Shabbos is chayev. What malacha is it? Omer luhu, he answered them, mishum choylev, the isav choylev. We don't know of such a malacha. That's how he answered. Mechabitz, somebody who strains the milk to separate the solid part from the liquid part, mishum mai mechayev, what malacha is that? Omaluhu mishum mechabitz, a malacha called mechabitz, another malacha we don't know. Megabin, somebody who makes cheese, mishum mai chayev, what's he chayev for? Omaluhu, he answered, mishum megabin, the malacha of megabin, of making cheese, and again, we don't know of such a malacha. Omrulei, they said to him, Rabbah, your Rebbe, whoever taught you Hilchas Shabbos, katle koni ba'ag mahava. It seems that he was a reed cutter in the swamps. He didn't manage to turn you into much of a Talmud Chochem. Also, shoil be midrasha, he came to the Beis HaMedrash, and he asked in the Beis HaMedrash, why are these things chayev? Omrulei, they said to him as follows, choylev, if you milk, the reason you're chayev is chayev mishum mefarik. Mefarik is extracting, and it's a tolda of dosh, which is thrashing, in the same way as thrashing and extracting, you are taking one thing from something else. So to here, you're removing the milk from the ducts in the udder of the animal. Therefore, it's similar. It's a tolda of dosh and mefarik. Mechabitz, somebody who strains congealed milk, what's he chayev for? Chayev mishum boira. He's selecting, he's separating. That's a melacha that we know as boira. Megabin, somebody who makes cheese, is chayev mishum boine. He's chayev for building, because cheese is made of milk. Milk was in a liquid state. Turning it into a solid state and making it into cheese that can be built up is a melacha of boine. And according to Rashi in Psochim Daf Samech Hei, there's no machloikus in this first part of the braisa. Everybody agrees. The machloikus we saw between Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim, according to Rashi, not everyone agrees with him, but according to Rashi, is only on the Sefer, and now we're going to learn about the Sefer, the melachos mentioned there. What does it say in the Sefer of that braisa? Hamechabed, somebody who sweeps, v'hamerabed, somebody who waters the dust, v'horoide, chalois dvash, and somebody who removes the loaves of honey from the honeycomb. Shogag b'Shabbos chayev chatos, hizid b'yontav loy karboim divi Reb Eliezer, as we saw in the braisa. Omer Reb Elozo, mai tama de Reb Eliezer. And here we're talking specifically about the case of roide chalois dvash, somebody who removes the loaves of honey from the honeycombs. Reb Elozo wants to know, why should Reb Eliezer say that he's loy karboim? or if on Yom Tov, and if he does it on Shabbos, b'shoigig is chayev chatos. Says the Gemara, dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, vayitboil oiso b'yar is tvash, he dipped it into forests of honey. Asks the Gemara, v'chima inyan yar eitzel dvash, what's this comparison between a forest and honey? El Elohim Melecho, the Pasuk is coming to teach you, ma yar, in the same way as a forest. Hatoilesh mimenu, somebody who removes something that's growing there. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, chayev chatos is chayev for the melach of koitzer, of reaping. Af chalis tvash, so too, the loaves of honey, haroidem imenu b'Shabbos, if somebody removes them from the honeycombs on Shabbos, chayev chatos is going to be chayev a chatos. Continues the Gemara, and now we're moving on to merabit, onto this watering the dust, making the dust settle and remain on the ground. Ameimer shora zilcha b'mechuzah. Ameimer allowed, in the place of mechuzah, he allowed them zilcha, he allowed them to sprinkle water onto the dust, and that's what we mentioned is called merabits. Omar, and he said, time am I, Omar Rabbonon, why did the Chachomim say it was osa in our Mishnah, in our Brisa, sorry, dilma osi la'ashvuye gumois, it's a gezeira. There's nothing wrong with sprinkling the dust in order the dust should settle. But when you're busy wetting the dust, you may come la'ashvi gumois to level out the holes in the floor. And we know that la'ashvi gumois is a melacha on Shabbos. It's to do with chayresh, and we've already seen that. Either chayresh or boina, depending if it's inside or outside, it's a sugya previously. But in order that you shouldn't chas v'shalom come to be mashvi gumois to level out the holes, therefore we said you should not sprinkle water on the dust, on the earth, on the floor. Hacha leke gumois. So Ameima said, in this place, in Mechuzah, there are no gumois, there are no holes in the floor, and therefore there's no reason to say that you're not allowed to sprinkle water onto the dust. Rava Teisfar Ashkechei L'Ravina. Rava Teisfar found Ravina. De Komitztair, he was very distressed, Mehavla, from the air. The air was very dusty. Va'omri lo Markashisha b'reidu Rava Ashkechei L'Rav Ashi. Some say it was Markashisha that found Rav Ashi in distress, to come its dire mehavla, who was distressed from the dust in the air. Omar le, he said to him, either Rava Teisfar said to Ravina, or Markashisha said to Rav Ashi, lo yisovar lo mar loho de Tanya. Do you, my master, do you not know what it says in a braisa? Horoitze l'rabit tzbeisei b'Shabbos. Somebody who wants to do Lerabit, he wants to settle the dust on Shabbos. Mevi areva mleo maim, he brings a basin full of water. Vereichutz, and he washes pon of his face, bezavis zeh. He goes to a corner of his house and washes his face. All he's doing is engaging in washing his face. By doing so, obviously water is going to drip on the floor. You're not going round explicitly and you're sprinkling water onto the dust. You're just washing your face there, and by default, the water is running onto the floor. Yadav bezavi zeh, you go to a different corner of the room, of the house, and you wash your hands. Raglov bezavi zu, and you go to a different corner and you wash your feet. V'nimtza bayis misrabit meilov, and then you'll see that your home, on its own, so to speak, will have, the dust will have become settled. Omar lei, so he said to him, lava date, it slipped my mind that I could do that. Continues the Gemara, Tana, we learnt in a braisa, Isha Chachoma, the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, or the wife of a Talmud Chacham, who herself has gleaned knowledge from their husband or father, they know that Marbet says Beisa B'Shabbos, they know how to be Marbet, the home on Shabbos, and that's they wash their dishes in one side of the house, they wash the cups in another side of the house, similar to what we just saw before. As long as you're not engaged directly in doing Marbet, you're allowed to make sure that water goes on the dust and settles it. We rule like Reb Shimon, who says that dovah she'eino miskaven muta, that if you're not intending to do a melacha, it's muta. Then, and the whole reason they said that merabits was osa is only because you might be ashve gumois by mistake. Reb Shimon says, since you're not intending to be ashve gumois, then it's a melacha, it's a dovah she'eino miskaven, and therefore it would be mutter. So according to Reb Shimon, there would be no issa whatsoever to do merabits, because there's no issa to, by mistake, do something unintentional of mashve gumois. And therefore, if all you're intending to do is to settle the dust on the earth, shari afilu lekatchila, it's mutter to do merabit even lekatchila. Says the Mishnah, hatoilesh me'otzitz nokuv. If somebody plucks out something that's growing in an otzitz nokuv, in a perforated, in a holed otzitz, a flower pot, chayev is chayev. Why? Because we say since it's holed, it's sucking its nourishment from the ground, because there's a hole in the bottom or in the side of this flower pot. It's as if it's attached to the ground, and since it's yearning its nourishment from the ground, removing something from this pot is called toilush, and is called picking on Shabbos, which is a melocha, which is also is chayev, which einu nokov. If, however, the flower pot is got no holes in it, then it's a self-contained plant which is not attached to the ground. Potter is going to be potter, because severing something from earth that's not attached to the ground is not the issa deraisa, the melacha of toilish. Reb Shimon poiter bezeh ubezeh. Reb Shimon says that there's no difference between otzutz nokuv and otzutz einei nokuv. When even if there's a hole in a flower pot, it's still considered in a flower pot. It's considered as if it's not holed, and therefore he'll never be chayev for toilish if removing something from a pot, even if there's holes in it. Says the Gemara, Romi le Abaye le Rava. Abaye asked Rava the following question. Ve'omri lo Rav Chiya bar Rav le Rav. Others say it was Rav Chiya who asked Rav the following question. Tnan, we learnt in our Mishnah. Rav Shimon poiter b'zeh u'b'zeh. Rav Shimon says you're always potter. There are no halachas whatsoever of nokuv. That means a holed flower pot never has any relevance, never has any significance. It's as if it's not holed. Alma, so we see from there, nokuv l'Rav Shimon, if a flower pot is holed, is perforated, kasha'ene nokuv mashvele, he treats it exactly like it's completely closed up flower pot. And from here, it's clear from, and we're going to soon see in the Gemara, but the Gemara assumes that from these words, zeh v'zeh poiter, it's clear that in every single case, with exclusion of none, Rav Shimon does not give any significance to the holes in a flower pot. The question is exactly how Rav Shimon sees this and why it should be that way. That's an issue that Tosfos and the Rishonim discuss. Uraminu, and this seems to contradict something else we know. Rav Shimon Oimer, Ein bein nokuv l'sheinei nokuv. Indeed, there's no difference between a holed flower pot and a not holed flower pot, a perforated one, except elolis l'hachshir zroim belvad. There is one case where having a hole in a flower pot actually does have significance, and Reb Shimon even there agrees, and that seems to be contrary from what we deduced before, that according to Reb Shimon, there is never going to be any halachas, any significance in the holes in a flower pot. Now, what's this halacha l'hachshir zroim? So the halacha is like this. Any food that grows, it can become tomei once it's detached. Something attached to the ground cannot become tomei. Even after a food item is detached from the ground, it can only become tomei if one of the seven types of liquids touch it before, and it has to be that those liquids intentionally and wantingly touch those food items. The question is, what's called detached? If water or other liquids touched these food items whilst they were still attached to the ground, then it's not mukhshir lekabel tumah. It's not become able and fit to be able to become tummy. These liquids don't make the food items tummy. It makes them mukhshir, makes them able to become tummy. And we have one condition. If it's attached to the ground when it becomes liquid, then it is not. It's not called mukhshir lekabel tumah. Here, Reb Shimon agrees that if it's in a closed, unholed flower pot, it's not called attached to the ground, and therefore, if liquids would touch it, it would be called mukhshir lekabel tumah. If there's are holes in it, we would have thought, especially according to Reb Shimon, is always machmir to disregard the holes. In this case, it would be a chumrah. Or it would actually be a kula, and that's the question here, according to Tosfos. But it would seem that if there are holes here, then it's attached to the ground. And if it's attached to the ground, then it cannot become mukhshar in that state. And the question here, according to Reb Shimon, is he going to stay consistent with his rule that we disregard the holds, and even when there's holds, it's called disconnected and it can be mukhshar lekabel tumah? Or are we going to say no? Over here, if there's holes in it, we're going to be makel and consider it that it is attached to the ground, and it cannot be mukhshar lekabel tumah in that state. And logic would dictate that if Reb Shimon is always machmir to disregard the holes, it wouldn't make sense that exactly in the case where it would be a kula, he is going to give significance to those holes. Nonetheless, we see here that when it comes to the hechsher zroim, he is giving significance to these holes, and he is being makel to say that the food growing in these pots with the holes in are considered attached to the ground, and they cannot become mukhshar lekabel tumah. That's the question of the Gemara. It doesn't make sense. Omer Lei answered him, L'chol mili Reb Shimon katolu shmashvali. You're right. In every other case, in all the other halachas that Rashi mentions, where there's significance between something being attached to the ground and not being attached to the ground, the holes have no relevance, and it's as if it's detached from the ground. Besides for this one case, even though it's a kula, which is Hechsher Zroim, V'shani le'inyon tumah, this case of Hechsher le'kabel tumah is different. Da'teira ribsot ta'ira etzel zroim, in the parasha that speaks about what can become mukhshar le'kabel tumah, it says a number of times the word seeds, the word sowing. Shenemra, as it says in the Pasuk, al kol zera zarua, on all sowing seeds, asher yizorea, which are sown, and the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Zayin and Rashi there explain that what the Pasuk means is that in order for seeds to be mukhshar lekabel tumah, it's not good enough that it's in a flower pot that you normally consider as being detached. It's got to be so detached that it's in a state that from here you can now go and plant it. And when you're planting seeds, they are generally not connected to the earth in any way, even not in a flower pot. Not in a hold flower pot. If it's not a hold flower pot, then it's always called disconnected. The fact that it's in the earth doesn't make a difference. But once there's a little bit of a hole, even though Reb Shimon normally says that's not relevant and it doesn't yearn its nourishment from the ground, and therefore it's not called toilish if you disconnect it on Shabbos, as we saw in our Mishnah. However, it's connected enough to the ground that it's not called Al-Kol Zera Zerua Asheri Zorea, and therefore it will not become Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah in this state. Continues the Gemara. Boy Minei Hahu Saba Mirab Zera. This elder asked of Zera the following, Sheirish Keneged Nekev Mali Omer Reb Shimon. It's true that we saw in the Mishnah, according to Reb Shimon, we disregard the holes at the bottom of a flower pot. It's as if it's completely sealed. It's as if it's detached from the ground. And therefore, removing something from the flower pot on Shabbos will not be the melacha of Toilish. So this elder asked Reb Zera, what happens if there's a root that's directly opposite the hole at the bottom of the flower pot? Do we say that it's taking its nourishment from the ground? It's not, the roots are not over the part of the flower pot that is not got the hole. It's completely directly over the part that does have a hole. Do we say there that it's yearning its nourishment, it's sucking its nourishment from the ground, and therefore doing toilish hilbichayev? Ishtik v'le'omalei v'le'imidi. Reb Zera did not answer this elder, and it seems that Reb Zera entertained the thought that it could be that even though it's above the hole, since it's in a flower pot, and we regularly disregard the holes, nonetheless, it's considered as if it's in a closed flower pot, and it would not be toilish. And even more so, we would assume that the parts of the plant that whose roots are not above the holes, where the roots are above the part of the pot which is closed, there we would definitely assume, or at least entertain the idea, and even more so according to Reb Shimon, specifically according to Reb Shimon, that it would not be called mechubar lekarka, attached to the ground. So Reb Zera, he chose to remain silent. He did not want to take the chiddush of Reb Shimon of disregarding hold flower pots, the holds in the flower pot, to the nth degree. Let's see how that played itself out. Zimna chode ashkechei, at one point, this elder found Rab Zeira de Yosef Ukoma, who was sitting, and he said the following halacha. Umoide Reb Shimon agrees. Nikev bikdei taharosoi. If the holes at the bottom of the flower pot are large enough to make this vessel, this utensil, to become that it's not considered a vessel, which means the size holds the size of an olive. We're going to see more on that in the next sugya. In that case, we're going to say that Reb Shimon agrees that we do regard the holes as holes. We do assume that the plants in it are getting their nourishment from the ground, and severing from it on Shabbos will be chayev for toilish. Omalei, so this elder said to Reb Zeira, I don't understand. Hashta shayrish keneged nekev, boyeminoch. When I asked you about a single root that's above the area that's got the hole, and you didn't want to answer me because you thought, according to Reb Shimon, that might still be called that it's in a closed flower pot and not taking its nourishment from the ground. And then even more so, I assumed that you understood that the parts of the roots that are above the part in the flower part pot, which is not above the hole, even more so it's not called attached to the ground. And then Nikov Bigdei Tarosi Miboya, and just because the holes are a little bit bigger, you're saying that everything growing in this flower pot, even the parts of the plant which are above the closed part of the flower pot, is also, according to Reb Shimon, is called that it's getting its nourishment from the ground. What made you jump from one extreme to the next? Omar Abaya said, Vi itmar lahod Reb Zeira, it must be that if you want to say something in the name of Reb Zeira, that Reb Shimon agrees in some type of flower pot that it's considered attached to the ground, Hochihud Itma, he said it in the following case. Umayda Reb Shimon agrees, Sheim Nikev Lemato Mirevius, if the hole in the flower pot, and even if it's on the side of the flower pot, is such that below the hole it cannot contain even a revius of liquid, that means this is not called a kli anymore. We totally disregard the whole flower pot. In that case, Reb Shimon will agree, even if there are no holes at the bottom of the flower pot, but if the part of the flower pot which is below the hole is cannot contain a revius, in that case, Reb Shimon will agree that the whole plant is taking its nourishment from the ground, and even if it's not taking its nourishment from the ground, we disregard the flower pot completely and therefore consider it as if it's taking its nourishment from the ground, and Reb Shimon will agree that he's chayev for toilish. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava, some say Rabba. And before we learn this halacha of Rava, I'd like to give a short introduction, and then the next sugya will flow easily. We're going to talk here about a clay cheres, an earthenware utensil, an earthenware vessel. An earthenware vessel has five or six different halachas and different stages, different usages, and for each of them there has to be some level of kli, some term, some usage, or let's call it a term called kli. If it's not a kli, then what defines kli in one halacha does not necessarily define kli for another halacha. An example. One of the halachas of klei cheres is a halacha called gistera. Gistera means that if a kli got broken, it got split into two, so now it's not anymore kli. If you dedicate this kli, that's what Rashi says in the end of the sugya, if you dedicate this kli in order to be used for a gistera, that means you're going to take this half a kli and use it as a broken kli. What would you use it for? It's if it can contain, if this gistera can contain some liquid, then if another big kli has a little hole and is dripping, you will take this gistera and put it underneath the hole of a big kli, and then it would serve that big kli. Therefore, even a broken kli cheres, if it can contain liquids, then it's still considered a kli, and there's a whole perek in Maseches Kelim on this. It's called gistera. There's another concept of kli, and that is regarding the poraduma. We know if a person becomes tomei from a dead person, he has to sprinkle it on himself, or the kohen has to sprinkle onto him the water mixed with the ashes of the poraduma. And the Torah says that this water has to be prepared in a kli, has to be a keli. If it's not considered a kli, then the whole process is not going to work and the water is invalid for purifying such a tomei meis. There's another halacha that in order to be machshir es hazroim, as we saw before, something that's growing in a kli can become mukshir lekabel tuma. Something that's not growing in a kli, it's not considered a kli, then, as we saw before, it's as if it's just growing from the ground, and therefore it cannot become mukshir lekabel tuma. Only in a kli it can become mukshir lekabel tuma. And even the Chachomim agreed to this. There was a Machlekes, Rabbonon and Reb Shimon before exactly what level of kli, what type of holes you need. But according to the Chachomim, and everybody agrees, that kli that does not have holes, if it's considered a kli, then what's inside it is detached from the ground, and therefore anything growing in it can be mukhshar lekabel tuma. There's another halacha, and this is your typical halacha of a kli, a vessel that becomes tomei, if something else tomei touches it. Not every tumah, but those types of tumahs that are able to make kelim tomei, then is this considered a regular kli? Then you've got another type of kli. You've got a type of kli where even though it cannot be used for regular solids, but you dedicated it, you set it aside to be used for much larger types of solids, and therefore, in order to lose the Shem Kli, you would need a much bigger hole. That's another type of tuma, of a Kli. And then finally, we have the halacha of a Kli that is in a Oihel Hameis, that's inside a tent, or where there's also a kazayis of a dead person or a dead person inside the tent under the same covering, that the tumah can seep through any pesach, any opening into a kli. What determines that the kli is no longer called a kli in some of the halachas regarding tumas oihel? Those are the six halachas you have, which all apply as well to klei cheres. Then we have another list of six things. There are six different levels of breakages, of a kli losing its ability to serve its purpose. The first two are to do with liquids. Like we saw before, the purpose of a gistera is to contain liquids. The purpose of the kli in which you do the waters of the Por Aduma are liquid. And there are two types of breakages that would affect the liquid. One is a very, very small hole that's small enough, kemoitzi mashke, just small enough that little drops of liquid could leak out of it. But if you actually sat that kli onto water, the hole would not be big enough that water would actually come in from through the hole, from the outside. If the hole is a little bit bigger, then if you place it on top of water, water will be able to enter from the outside. That's an even larger hole. That's called Kekoines mashke, the hole is big enough to allow water in. And then we have another bracket of breakages, and that's three different levels of breakages. One, which are all to do with vessels that are containing solids. One is that if the hole is big enough that a little root of something growing inside the vessel, the kli, can actually come out of it, which is bigger than the hole of Kekoines mashke, but It's a relatively small hole. That's the first halacha in those pots that are dealing with solids. There's another breakage, which is a bit more, and that's the size that an olive could fall out of it. And then you cannot use it for storing olives anymore. Then there's another stage, the third one of this group, which is really number five in our list. And that is when the hole is big enough that even a pomegranate, an average-sized pomegranate, would be able to fall out of it. And then there's one last halacha, which is when we're talking about a kli that does not have a hole in it, it actually has an opening in it. That's how big this hole is. It's got a pesach in it. When the breakage is so big, which means that most of the kli has been destroyed, has been removed, has been broken, then it doesn't have a hole in the kli. Then this kli has actually got a pesach, has got an opening to it. And that has its own set of halachas. Now we have to learn each set of the five halachas we mentioned, gistera, meichatos, lehachshir bo yizroim, stam kli, a kli which is made in order to be mekabel rimoinim, and the halachas of Tumas Oihel, how do those five get affected by these, how do these six halachas get affected by these six types of breakages? Kamoitzi mashke, kakoinis mashke, kashoroshei cotton, kamoitzi zayis, kamoitzi rimoin, and yifchas beruboi, which is most of it is broken. That's what we're going to see now. Says the Gemara inside Omarova. Chomeish midois biklei cheres. There are five measures, five different sections, compartments of the halachas of a kli cheres, of an earthenware kli. The first one is as follows. Nikev kamoitzi mashke, a kli cheres that has a small hole, just the smallest hole we mentioned, kamoitzi mashke, that liquids can fall out of it. Toher miletame gistera. The only one of the six halachas we mentioned that gets affected by this is the halach of gistera. If you set aside a broken kli cheres that can contain a revius, and you set it aside to contain liquids, and now this gistera, which itself is broken, is leaking, in that case, it's no longer got the tumah of gistera and is completely tohir. And we're going to see later the reason is because every other kli, if it's dripping out this little bit, we're not worried about that. We wouldn't even entertain the idea of throwing out this vessel, this kli. All we'll say is bring a gistera to contain, to collect the leaking drips. But a gistera itself, you wouldn't bring a gistera in order to contain the drips of a gistera. Therefore, gistera, which is already broken, and now also has a hole that it's got difficulty holding the water, it's not called a kli on any level and is tohir. But vadayin klihu, it's still considered a kli cheres that's not a gistera, it's not broken. It's a whole kli, but it does have a hole. Kamoitzi mashke is still called a kli, lekadish by meichatos, that if you were to prepare the water of the paraduma in there, it would still be valid, it would still be kosher. The second halacha, Nikev kakoinis mashke. If there's a hole not just to kamoitzi mashke but kakoinis mashke, then tohir melekadish boy meichatos. The word tohir doesn't mean it's pure. It means tohir means that it's no longer able. We don't consider anymore this kli as a kli regarding the meichatos. However, v'adayin kli hu lehachshir boizroim. If you have this kli which is enough, a hole is big enough kamachnis mashke, then regarding the usages of this kli for the paraduma, it needs to contain water. We say it's no longer a good enough kli to be called maim chaim el keli, to be valid for the paraduma. But in order for it to be called a kli, that if you grow something in it, it's called detached from the ground and it can be mukhshar lekabel tumah, of course it's still a valid kli. The third halacha, nikev kashoyrish cotton. If there's a hole in it to the extent that a little root can come, can penetrate through it, toir b'lehachshir b'izroim, and it's very appropriate. We're talking about if the contents of the kli are attached to the ground, so if a little root can penetrate through this hole, then we say that this pot is no longer detaching everything inside it from the ground, and therefore it's considered somewhat attached to the ground, and therefore it can no longer be machshir lekabel tumah. V'adayin kli lekabel boizesim, but all the regular halachas of tumah, where the kli itself can become tomei, and this is your typical halacha of kli cheres, of every kli, that as long as it can contain an olive, then it's a regular kli. It's a kli that can contain average-sized solids and can become tomei with all the regular halachas of tumah. Obviously, we're talking here about kli cheres, then it's the halachas that apply to kli cheres that we've discussed previously in the Masechta. The next halacha, number four, nikev kamoitzi zesim. If this kli now has a hole that does not allow even olives to stay in this kli, then tohir melekabel boizesim, then it's no longer going to mekabel tumah at all as a kli. However, if a person then dedicates it and says, okay, from this point on, I want this kli to be dedicated and uniquely used, not to be receiving olive-sized foods, but to be able to receive pomegranates, and pomegranates are much bigger, since you as the owner of this kli decided that this is now going to be a kli that's going to be used to receive remoinim, since this kli can easily accept remoinim, it's called a kli and it can become tomei, like every kli cheres. V'adayin kli hu lekabel boi remoinim. The fifth halacha, Nikev Kemoitzi remind him, if the hole is even bigger, and now even an average size pomegranate cannot stay in that kli, toher miklum, it cannot become tome at all. Now, v'im hukuf tzomit posil, however, the alocha, what happens if a kli is in sharing the same oihel, it's in the same roof, under the same roof, in the same tent, in the same home, in the same room as a dead person, the halacha is that the kli is tomei. However, if there is a covering sealed to the top of this kli, then the tumah cannot penetrate. What happens if there's a hole? It doesn't matter, the tomei will not penetrate it. Even if there's a big hole on this kli, if it's sealed over completely, it can not become tomei. However, if this kli does not have a hole in it, it has an opening, which means Acher Yifchas Ruboy, if most of the kli has been broken, in that case, and only in that case, the tumah will be able to penetrate this kli, even if there is a, if there's a cover sealed onto it. Which means that even though it no longer has the Shem kli for any of the tumas, it can receive the tumas oihel, oihel ameis, unless most of it has been broken, and then the tumah cannot penetrate there. And the Meforoshim here discuss why Rava said there were five halachas, but really there are six halachas. And now we're going to discuss four of these halachas a little bit more in detail. Says the Gemara, Omer Ravasi. Ravasi said as follows, Shemati, I heard, kli cheres, a typical regular kli cheres, where a typical kli cheres is not made in order to be able to contain pomegranates. A typical kli cheres is made to contain olives. Shi'uroi k'moitzi rimoin. What makes it become no longer called a kli is if it's got a hole that lets even a pomegranate fall through it. Omale Rava. So Rava said to Ravasi, Shemoloi shemata elobe mukuf tzomit posil. Rava didn't want to learn that Rav Asi was talking about a kli that was dedicated to be used to receive pomegranates, in which case Rav Asi's din complies exactly with what Rava said before. Rava assumed this was a regular kli, a typical average kli, and then when would you need the size of a pomegranate to render it that it's no longer a kli, not for your regular alochas of tumah, for that it's sufficient if there's a hole that would let an olive fall through it. It must be the alocha of mukuf tzomit posil, that if the kli is broken to the extent that a pomegranate could fall through it, that's called a pesach, an opening, and even if there's a lid firmly attached to the top, the tumas oihel will still be able to penetrate. Asks the Gemara, how could you, Rava, assume and explain Rav Asi's halacha that when do you need the hole the size of a rimoin to make this kli no longer be called a kli, regarding whether the lid fixedly attached to this kli cheres protects it and its contents from tumas oyel ameis, and you're saying that for that you need the size of a pomegranate to fall through? You, Rava, yourself said before in that sixth halacha that you need actually yifchas ruba, you need that most of the kli has been severed in order to allow the tumas oyel ameis to penetrate. Says the Gemara, loy kasha, it's not a question. Ha barav ravi, ha bezutri. If it's a very big kli, that's when I, Rava, said before that the tumah will only penetrate through it if most of the kli is open, has been broken. However, if it's a smaller kli, and we do not know exactly how big or small this is, but if it's a smaller kli, then even if it's only got a hole the size of a pomegranate can fall out of it, it's already a big enough hole that tumas oyel ameis will be able to make the kli and its contents tomei. Continues the Gemara. And this is the next halacha, and we're going back to the first halacha of the five halachas Rava mentioned. Omer Ravasi, Shoinen, we learnt as follows. Kli cheres shi'uroi bekoinus mashke. In order to make a kli cheres no longer be valid, it's got to be enough that water would enter from the outside, and not just that a little bit of water would drip out from the inside. V'le omru moitzi mashke. Regarding what halacha did we say that a hole small enough that it can just drip out of it, but it wouldn't even allow any water in from the outside, that it's already considered a broken kli? Elo le'inin gistera bilvad, only regarding the aloch of gistera, which is in itself a broken kli that you've dedicated to be used to collect liquids, that in that for gistera, if it has a hole, even the size of moitzi mashke, the smallest type of hole, it will make it completely tohir. My tama, what's the reason for this? Omar mazut braider of Nachman lefisha ein oimrim havei gistera legistera, as we said before, that every other kli, if it's just dripping a bit, we would bring a gistera to contain the leaked liquid, but a gistera itself, we wouldn't say bring a gistera to collect the leak of a gistera, we would just disregard it and throw it out, and therefore it's no longer considered a kli whatsoever. And now we're going to the next halacha. Omar Ula Pligi bar Trei Amiroi b'Marov in Eretz Yisrael. There was a machlokes Amiroim. Rabbi Yosi bar Ovin v'Rabbi Yosi bar Zavda. Chad Omar k'moitzi rimoin. One said that in order for the kli not to be called a kli, you need this great big hole enough that a pomegranate would fall through it. V'chad Omar k'sherish cotton. And one says it needs to be big enough just in order for a root to be able to penetrate through the hole. And we're talking here about the halacha of, is it considered in a kli that if what's growing inside it is detached from the ground, that it can become mukhshar lekabel tuma or not? And we said that the only halachas that, besides for the gistera and the meichatos, which are kelim that have to deal with liquids, but all the rest, that's lehachshir boizroim, a kli that's roi lekabel zaysim, and a kli that's roi lekabel remoinim, those three have three different shiurim, we said before. We said that lehachshir boizroim, it's according to Rava before, it's the size of that a small root, a shayrish cotton, can penetrate. A regular kli that's made to hold olive-sized foods becomes invalid, becomes no more kli if it's got a hole that would let the olives fall out, and a kli that's been dedicated to hold even a pomegranate will only lose its status as a kli if a pomegranate can fall through. Those are three shiurim that are mentioned regarding kelim that are holding these solids. And there we said, regarding lahachshir boizroim, there's actually a machlokes amiroim. Rava said before that if a small root can penetrate through the hole, it's enough to be called attached, enough that the food items growing in this pot will no longer be able to become mukhshar lekabel tuma in that state. Over here we have a machlokes tanoim, machlokes amiroim. Says the Gemara, how are you going to remember that there's nobody who holds that the size of a hole has to be a size that an olive can fall through? And that's going to say that it's no longer called a kli regarding the hachshir boizroim. How are you going to remember that? Because both amiroim, they don't say that. They either say a small hole, enough for a small root to penetrate, is enough to be called attached, and what's in the pot will no longer be able to be mukhshar lekabel tuma. Or they say the great big shear of k'moitzi rimoin. According to that amira, if the hole is anything less than the size of a pomegranate, it's not called attached to the ground, and what's growing in this pot can be mukhshar lekabel tuma. We have two extremes, either kasherish cotton or k'moitzi rimoin. But nobody says that the size to call the food items attached to the ground, that they can no longer be mukhshar lekabel tuma, is the average size called an olive. Says the Gemara, v'simonoch, you want to remember that? Echod ha-marbe ve'echod ha-mamit. This is a famous saying that it's brought down in its source, echod ha-marbe ve'echod ha-mamit, irrespective of if you do a lot or a little, as long as ubilvad shi'chav in libo ilashamayim, as long as your heart is doing what Hashem wants you to be doing and you're doing your best. Over here, we're using that term just to remember, echod ha-marbe echod ha-mamit. It's either the largest of the three sizes or the smallest of the three sizes. But nobody takes the middle road regarding this halacha of lahachshir b'izroim. Continues the Gemara, and this is the relating to the final halacha. Omer of chinana bar kahana mishmeder b'lieza. Klei cheres shi'uroi k'moitzi zeisim. For kli cheres to lose its status of a kli, it has to have a hole that's big enough that olives can fall out of it. Omer k'shisha b'rei derova. Mesayim bo mishmeder b'lieza. Markashisha argued and said that v'harehein k'klei glolim u'klei avonim u'klei adomo she'ein mekablim tuma loy medivrei teira v'loy medivrei seifrim. They hold, Marka Shisha argues, before we said, Rava said, that even though a kli cheres, if it has the hole the size of an olive, is no longer going to receive tumah as a regular kli would, if you dedicate it to receive remoinim, then in that case, it will become tomei because it can serve its purpose until it gets a hole that's the size that even pomegranates will not stay inside it. That's what Rava said before. However, over here, this Marka Shisha says no. Says once it has the size of a hole, the size of an olive, it's considered like klei gelolim, klei avonim, klei adoma, which are type of kelim that can never ever become tomei, not midivrei soifrim, not midrabonon, and not midivrei teira. They hold that even if you dedicate a kli to hold remoinim, it's not going to become tomei. Once a kli has a hole the size of an olive would fall out of it, it's no longer called a kli in all these halachas that we discussed. The only way that such a kli that has the hole the size of a pomegranate can fall out could again be called a kli to become tomei is if you dedicate it to become a gistera. Then it will have the tumas that apply to gistera, if the little part of the kli that you're trying to use can contain enough liquid. But otherwise, it will not become tomei, besides and except for tumas oyehel hames. There we have different rules, and le'inyon tzomit posil, in the case of a kli that's got its cover tightly attached to it, there it will stay toher because it has a cover, even though it's got a hole, and it will stay toir unless most of the kli gets broken. If most of the kli gets broken, then the tumah will penetrate the kli and its contents and become tomei tumas oyel hames, even if the hole is bigger than moitzi rimoin. And this is how, according to what we learned before in Rashi, in Rav Ruvra and Zutri. Hadron aloha matznia, b'siyata deshmai, we finished learning Perek HaMatznia. In the next year, we're going to start learning Perek HaZorik.